Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour on this Friday, the 23rd day of December 2011. I'm Jeff Seifert for Raven News. New research shows northern southeast Alaska's sea otter population is growing slower than in the southern part of the region, but it's still expanding, which continues to worry fishermen and divers. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Will Ware goes subsistence fishing in Sumner Strait, south of Petersburg. But the administrator of the town's tribal government says he finds fewer shellfish there these days.
When you get up onto the reefs, you're seeing it's just completely shell-laden all over the rocks and beaches, and gumbo shells everywhere, shrimp shells. It's almost like a devastating sight to see on some of these islands and rocks.
The shells are leftovers from sea otters' meals. A few decades ago, the federally protected marine mammals were hard to find, but that's no longer the case. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and other agencies have been surveying southeast waters to determine the extent of otter growth. Wildlife biologist Verena Gill just released a new population estimate. It's 20,000.
The reason it is increasing, both in distribution and in number, is because these sea otters are just recolonizing where they were extirpated from.
Otter fur is thick and warm, making it a valuable commodity. Russian and later American hunters killed so many that they disappeared from southeast and most other coastal areas about a century ago. Then the state decided they should be brought back.
In the late 60s, the Department of Fish and Game actually translocated otters from some remnant colonies that were left in Prince William Sound and the Aleutians and took them over to southeast Alaska. And they've been increasing and expanding back into their original range since then.
400 otters were brought to the outer coast of southeast. Gill's new population estimate means their numbers have risen 50-fold in the past 45 or so years. But growth has not been even across the region. The south is seeing a 12% growth rate, while in the north, it's only 4%.
There isn't the habitat otters really like in northern southeast that there is in southern southeast. They tend to like water about 100 foot deep, and there is a lot more shallow habitat available in southern southeast Alaska with more of the kind of foods that they like to forage on.
The reintroduced otters have expanded from the outer coast to inside waters. It will take a while for large numbers to reach the mainland.
But if they do move into the inner waters of southeast, I think it would be many, many years. There's still a lot of available habitat on the outer coast yet for them to recolonize.
But Gill says there's no doubt the population will continue to increase and spread out. A recent report from the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association says otter expansion is reducing the region's crab, sea urchin, sea cucumber, and gooey duck populations. That's hurt commercial crabbers and divers who make their livelihood from the same species. Gill says the worst impacts may come with the marine mammals' arrival.
Otters, when they do move into a new area, they will go for the higher fat, higher calorie, easy pickings, and then gradually the diet will revert to clams, and otters, in fact, don't eat themselves out at house and home, they just switch prey.
Diet studies show 90% of what sea otters eat is clams. The rest overlaps with what people harvest. But Gill says the otters could boost the herring population. Otters eat sea urchins that consume kelp, where herring lay their eggs. One factor expected to limit population growth is climate change. Gill says the warming ocean contains more neurotoxins and biotoxins, and it's becoming more acidic, which will damage otter food.
The shells, for example, of clams may become softer. They may impact invertebrate populations that sea otters won't have the forage that they need, which will also impact the people, too.
Groups involved in the issue will get together prior to the next State Board of Fisheries meeting, January 15th in Petersburg. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Go to our website, kcaw.org, and find this report for links to additional sea otter information that includes a recent study on their impacts on Dungeness crab and commercial dive fisheries. Although Rex Harrison would never be cast to play him in a movie, Sitka's longest-serving veterinarian does something that not even Dr. Doolittle could do, practice medicine for free. For over 30 years, Burgess Bowder has made his living as a dive fisherman and lighthouse keeper, but his passion has always been providing pro bono care to Sitka's pets. Reporter Diana Savrin visited Sitka last summer on a Kingsley Trust Fellowship from Yale University to interview Sitkins, who were profiled in a study of the community's distinctiveness. The paper, up for discussion, What Makes a Sustainable Community, was written by Gary Kulthaus and published by the Island Institute with help from a grant from the Alaska Humanities Forum. In the second part of a five-part series based on that work, Saverin takes us into the heart of Burgess Bowder's free veterinary clinic.
Got a quick question.
Ask a quick question.
Got a dog ripped off a rear toenail. Have you got time for her after these guys?
Yeah, but is it just hanging there?
It's already ripped off.
Oh, don't even worry about it. You don't need me.
These are the kinds of problems Burgess Bowder solves. He's 67 years old and known around town as a man of reputation, visible in the bumper stickers that read, "What would Burgess do?" He's known for having drowned and been resuscitated while diving for gooey ducks and subsequently breaking his hip on a life-affirming ski down Harbor Mountain. He's fascinated with lighthouses. He built one on an island in Sitka Sound that he rents out by the night. It's become a local landmark. He's building a second lighthouse along the shore in town. But breaking through that sensationalism and touch of strangeness is a man who has served the pets of Sitka for 30 years. While most dogs crawling in and out of his clinic store have their tails between
like
their legs,
the biggest cat I've
no
ever
pet
seen
owner
in my life.
Leaves
here,
without
come.
Laughing.
Wonderful day, man.
Well, you too.
Thank you.
You're my favorite vet.
See you.
More than laughs render the occasional visit to this vet unique. And many aren't sure how to deal with the way Burgess does business.
I just
business.
Want to make sure I don't know you more.
You don't know me more.
He said it was $10 and I'm...
That's 10.
And your services?
What services? I stuck a needle in your dog. That's a service. Come on. It's $10. That's plenty. Trust me.
Burgess doesn't charge, per se. He doesn't have any employees. He doesn't have any fancy equipment. He just looks at the animals, and owners pay for the drugs Burgess thinks their pets need.
I mean, if you're reasonably observant, you use your special senses. You look, you listen, you smell, you feel, and if you're really dedicated, you taste, and you report things that this might be.
Maybe if he was tasting more often, he would charge more. Everything else Burgess does, commercial fishing, property rentals, supports his pro bono practice. For most professionals, pro bono means occasionally doing free work for a good cause. For Burgess, pro bono is central to his vision. Taking money for this work goes against his nature.
I don't want employees. What do I want? I want everybody and their damn dog to have health care at a reasonable cost. That's my mission. To include cats. Everybody and their dog and cat is entitled to health care at a reasonable price.
And he takes little credit for providing this health care.
Thank
you, sir. You're certainly welcome. Have a very fine day.
He first came to Sitka for three reasons.
Set him up.
It was abundant in seawater, there were cats and dogs, and there was no veterinary clinic. Since then, he's worked with the animal shelter and built a new clinic that's connected to one run by his wife, also a veterinarian. He runs a more traditional practice.
Well, we have two veterinary practices. They're separate and not quite equal. I try and tailor my practice socioeconomically. I've always been saddened by the fact that many people love their pet and they have nothing. And why in the world should the pet, you know, suffer because they can't, quote, afford to pay? In 41 years of doing this, I have never had a problem with somebody not being able to pay. Just make it easy. If they can't afford it, I'll do it. If you can afford it, pay. If you can't, hey, do it for the dog. Point of personal philosophy.
While he mostly does it for the dog around Sitka, he's done it for some other animals in the past
as well.
Working
on cattle. Some of my absolute greatest memories in the profession are being in a rainy barn, doing a C-section on a cow at 2 o'clock in the morning. It is just the smells and the sound of the rain on the corrugated rusty roof and a newborn calf nuzzling you while you sew up, Mom. It don't get no better than that. Men don't get to give birth, but we can participate in it. You know, doing C-sections on large animals is absolutely magic.
While there aren't any cows on Baranoff Island, he manages to work some magic each afternoon for the cats and dogs, after a morning spent walking his bird and doing carpentry.
I hope I got another 9 years in it. I don't know. I'm thinking of only doing Chihuahuas. No more Rottweilers. Because you have to lift them up on a table.
Yeah.
Chihuahuas are easier to lift than Rottweilers. As I get older and more enfeebled, I probably do Chihuahuas only.
Part of it, right? Was it the healing?
In Sitka, I'm Diana Saverin.
Hand on him and say, be healed!
Reporter Diana Saverin is a Kingsley Trust Fellow at Yale University who visited Sitka this summer to meet people who contributed to a study on the community's distinctiveness. In part three of her series, she'll meet Sitka elder and athlete Herb Diedrichson. A series of low-pressure systems from the North Pacific has been hovering over southeast Alaska this month, causing higher temperatures and rain. Pete Boyd is a forecaster with the National Weather Service in Juneau.
It's the track of these low-pressure systems that have been moving in. As we get some ridging over the panhandle, we've got these southerly winds, which has just been moving up this warm air. And with this current system, it's pretty much raining across the entire southeast Alaska panhandle.
In 18 of the first 21 days of December, the high temperature in Juneau was above the average high for that date. Only twice did the low temperature dip below normal. The Weather Service reports Juneau's average temperature this month has been 34.3 degrees. That's almost 4 degrees above normal. Boyd says the same conditions have created above-average temperatures in South Central and the interior this month.
The same pattern has been affecting Southeast Alaska and the interior as well.
And while he's not ready to declare a white Christmas, Boyd says temperatures should drop this weekend.
We have some indications that it could be a rather cold air mass, but these models, we don't have exactly very high confidence in them right now. But we do see them temperatures dropping below freezing, looking to probably be just in the mid to upper 20s.
A little bit warmer here in our area. The rest of today, rain showers in the morning, then rain in the afternoon, according to the Weather Service. Highs around 41 degrees. Southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour, becoming east 15 to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tonight, rain showers, lows around 36 degrees. Southeast winds 15 to 25 miles per hour with higher gusts in the evening, then diminishing late. For Christmas Eve, rain, highs around 42 degrees. Southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Rained tomorrow night, lows around 33 degrees with south winds to 15 miles per hour. And then rain on Christmas Day. It's going to be a wet Christmas. Highs around 38 degrees, west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Currently 39 degrees. That's it for Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. It's 1 minute past the hour. Good morning.
Guards Council.